I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It seems like it's colder now than it was an hour.
Yeah, I took off my jacket for a while, and I was like, what am I doing?
Bad decision. Bad life decision by you.
But hey, we are celebrating the Nats being up 2-0. Redskins got a win. Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of priorities for life. You can shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. As we're talking about the Nats, we're wondering your take on what do you think has been the biggest reason they've gone on this run. They win the wild card game against the Brewers. Then they advance and beat the Dodgers 3-2, winning in L.A. And they're now up 2-0 with some road games. Some people might point to the fact, besides the wild card game, the elimination games, they've been big, but the Game 5 was on the road. A lot of people said, well, this is different. The Nationals have had elimination games at home. They feel all the pressure. The pressure was on the Dodgers there. And then to go and then go on the road for the first two games here of the NLCS to win those two. Maybe it's big, like they just feel looser on the road in these big games.
I just think it's confidence, and they just believe. There's just a different vibe with this team. We've said it all year. There's just something different about them. And the fact that they're able to come back the way they have, timely hitting, pitching's been great. They scored a ton of runs late in a lot of games to take leads. This is something that we're not used to seeing. But let's see if it happens again tonight. The series is not over, but, man, you got to feel good about where we are.
800-636-1067 is the number. A bunch of Nats callers want to weigh in. Let's go to Aaron. He's a little bit pumped for the Nats. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's up, brothers, man? I'm really psyched. I'm very psyched.
Aaron's coming with the boombox in the background.
Doing it live?
That's right, bro. That's Blink. What's up, y'all? Man, it's good.
What's up, Blink? We love Blink.
Blink, also known as Aaron? Didn't know that.
Hey, listen. I'm psyched, man. Only thing I could do is just do my little part as a fan, as a teammate. I just feel like I feel everything you guys feel. I can't say nothing else, but I'm going to do everything I can with every ounce of energy I got to make us go where I need to be, and that's champions. Champions.
What do you think this has been the biggest reason they're rolling?
Well, everybody been stepping up, like I say in the songs. I mean, Robles went down, Taylor came back in. I mean, my boy Howie messed up on the bases runs and all that a little bit. He came back in. I mean, Corbin did a little bit wrong. He got a chance. He came back in. Everybody's back in. Everybody's in. It's the same way. I love it, baby.
Blink he breaks down a game.
Yes,
perfectly.
He does. Yeah, it's like Boog Shambi.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right there.
By the way, Boog Shambi will join us at 8 o'clock. Of course, MLB announcer on ESPN.
We tried to get him out here in the studio, at the park, but he's sleeping.
Of course. Why wouldn't
he? He's staying in Arlington. He just wasn't going
to
come out.
Let's go to.
Believe me, we tried.
Yeah. Let's go to Anthony from Dulles. Anthony, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just wanted to say, to me, the key has been a absolutely total team effort. These guys are just playing lights out. And I remember one of the Junks last week talking, making a statement that I'm not sure whether or not if we can win these one or two run games with just our pitching. But lo and behold, our pitching
that would be Eric Bickle.
Yeah, it's just amazing that the way that these guys are playing. And yes, it does, mirror the Caps fallouts from like past previous years, but to me this feels also like the same St. Louis Blues year from last year, how they actually were, I think, last or second to last in the whole NHL, and look how
last.
They stormed back.
They had the worst record in the entire league, and they made it all the way back and won the Stanley Cup.
Back all the way to the Stanley Cup, and I am a huge fan of Lauren Ricketts, also Lurch.
Oh, yeah.
And And also, just real quick, guys. I mean, you know, the NLDS to the NLCS happened so fast that I don't really. I listen to you guys every morning, but I don't recall you guys speaking. Volumes about how we basically came back against Kershaw, and then Howie's heroic swing of the bat to propel us to this next round. So, I mean, I really feel that these guys are really going to pull it through, and I don't think Atlanta can hit us at all. But we'll see. It's still early. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Atlanta definitely.
St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis.
St. Louis, sorry. But I don't think these guys can actually hit us, but we'll see. It's still early, Lurch, like you said. But all we can do is pray and just hope that these guys do well tonight and continue on to hopefully match up with the Yankees, hopefully, an East Coast World Series. But we'll see.
God,
still got time to go. Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call, bud.
I don't care if it's the Yankees
or the
Astros.
By the way, we did talk a lot about Howie's grand slam.
Of course we did. We probably played. We played.
And coming back against
Kershaw.
We played
the call over and over throughout the show.
I don't think he was listening.
Andy B's call.
That's all we did for that. The next day, was talk about it. His point is well taken. There's just a different vibe about this team. And some of the things that they're doing this postseason is stuff that we never saw in years past under Dusty or under Davey Johnson or under Matt Williams. You know, we just didn't see it. So give Davey Martinez a lot of credit.
I think he deserves
absolutely.
It. He's maligned a lot during his tenure in the regular season. You know, last year was disappointing, and then when the season started off, 19-31. We thought he was dead man walking.
What's Davey's contract status? I believe there's an option year for his third year, which is the year upcoming. I mean, the Nats are definitely they're going to pick up the option.
It was a 2-year plus an option.
I believe
3-year plus an option.
Maybe it's a 3 plus a fourth. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I'll have to go check on that one.
He's getting himself some nice leverage, though.
Either way, he's back.
And I do think part of the reason they moved on from Dusty Baker, his predecessor, was because a lot of people felt like Dusty mismanaged the team in the playoffs. They thought, yeah, he's great. Chemistry's great. People love his stories. But the management in the playoffs, they didn't like. And I think what they are doing right now in the playoffs, to me, that's the biggest factor. As I said before, the way that Davey is utilizing the starters in the bullpen, it's masking the poopy pen, as you dubbed it a few years ago. And we haven't had one blown save. Have they had a blown save?
I don't think so.
This is a team that had 29 of them in the regular season.
Somehow they're avoiding them in the playoffs.
Think about that. Yeah, they had 29 blown saves in the regular season.
The only thing that didn't work was bringing Corbin in game 3 of the Dodgers series. That blew up in their face. But that's the only issue that anybody had was bringing him in, leaving him in for as long as he did. Other than that, they've been great. Corbin coming in game one, or game 2, I guess, throwing to the one lefty, that's awesome. You know, that's how you can use these guys. You don't want to see those other guys out there on the mound. You don't want to see the Sueros and the Stricklands and the Rodneys. You want to see Max, Strassi, Anibal, Corbin, Doolittle, Hudson. It's it.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're taking your calls on what's been the biggest factor for the Nats getting this deep in the postseason. Let's go to Michael in Landover. What's up, Michael? All right, let's move on to John in D.C.
Hey guys,
up,
good
John?
Morning. I'm a big fan of the Nats. Been a long time fan, but Davey Martinez, I think his strategy in the bullpen right now is out of necessity. It's a little league strategy. You got to throw out your best guy to get the W. So, it's been used in the past. It's not one of the most novel concepts, but I think what got us here during the season was being aggressive on the base paths and bunting and manufacturing runs, which is what you have to do in the playoffs. I feel like he's sitting on his hands a little bit. He's had a lot of opportunities to send guys or to sacrifice and move guys around, and he hadn't done it. And I'm hopeful that we're going to change things around a little bit, but the best teams execute on the small things in the playoffs, and we haven't necessarily done that yet. We've been lucky with our starters, and we've had some timely hits, but you gotta manufacture runs. Thanks.
You're right. Runs are a premium in the playoffs. You know,
in game 5, he had I had some issues with not getting guys over.
Right, when Strasburg.
We talked about Strasburg, and then Turner struck out. Yeah,
right.
But it ended up working out, okay? And then when your starting pitcher is going to throw 7 innings of no-hit ball, You just need a couple runs, and that's what they've gotten. Now, they're not going to be able to use the starters like a Corbin, you know, a Max or any of those guys tonight. So what's going to happen if Strasburg struggles? They're going to have to go to some of these other guys because Corbin's pitching tomorrow. You're not going to throw Max. You're not going to throw Anibal. So they're going to have to rely on some of those guys tonight, but hopefully Strasburg will keep pitching like he's been and go 6 or 7.
It'd be stunning if he doesn't.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And this is the thing, when by the way, EB's not here today because he was doing a college visit this week, and he'll be back tomorrow. But when EB keeps saying, it's all about the bats, we got to get the bats going, you don't need 10 runs generally in the playoffs. Look at last night's extra innings game between the Astros and Yankees. That's a 3-2 game. That's typical.
In a hitter's ballpark.
That's typical playoff baseball. So playoff baseball generally doesn't have 6 or 7 runs. You just need those timely hits, put together a couple runs. So to his point, maybe you do need to manufacture a couple runs. They haven't been stealing a bunch of bases, but they've clearly done enough.
Oh, look, they're going to have to do that tonight. You know, you're going to have to move over guys. You're going to need sacrifice flies. You're not going to score a ton of runs off Jack Flaherty, so you got to take advantage of the situations. But just the schedule, by the way, obviously tonight, Game 3 here at Nats Park at 7:38. Tomorrow, Game 3 in New York, Astros-Yankees. That's going to be Cole against Severino. That's a 4:08 start. And then, of course, Game 4, which you guys will be at tomorrow night after you go to Joseph A. Bank. That's an 8:05 start,
yes.
Cards-Nats. And, of course, that's Patrick Corbin against Dakota Hudson. And then we'll see what happens beyond that. Wednesday would be an afternoon game here, I think at 4 o'clock.
Let's go to Donna in Greenbelt. Donna, you're on with the Junkies live from Nats Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
I kind of have a different perspective. I can't really top what the previous callers have said. I agree with all of that. But I have a different perspective on all of this. I guess because I'm 63, I was a fan of the miserable Senators. That was my team when I grew up. I try not to get emotional. And, you know, even though they were horrible, we went to almost all the games. Then my heart was broken when they left in 73. We didn't have a team for 32 years. And, you know, the Nats came back to town and they had... We've had limited success, and I'd be getting my hopes up, but we've only gotten so far. So this is just incredibly meaningful to me, and I think to a lot of us old-timers. So,
right. Well, how are you feeling about tonight?
Oh, wow.
I'm get emotional, by the way. You're an emotional woman
she
today.
She is. She's an emotional wreck.
It's okay.
Much so that sometimes I can't even watch the games. I can't help it. You know, that's who I am. I used to hate
that's
it.
That's the way Cakes is.
Yeah, baseball Cakes.
You don't watch the games.
Sometimes it's so stressful. I have a hard time watching.
Right.
Yeah, so tonight I'm cautiously optimistic. It's just eerily like the Caps, and I just, oh, man.
That's a good thing.
Incredible. And
you should be excited. Don't be so stressed. They're up 2-0.
You got it.
Thank
no problem.
You. Thank you for the call.
2-0. Strasburg's on the mound.
Yeah, you got to feel
Couldn't
good.
Couldn't ask for more.
Was that Donna?
That was Donna, yes.
Yeah. Donna just needs to relax a little bit.
I mean, she watched the Senators.
Well, okay. She's not that much older than us.
She's seen a lot of baseball.
Yes, she has.
She just has.
Slightly more than you, just slightly.
Let's go to Warren in Fairfax.
What's up, Warren?
Hey, guys. Hey, one thing that occurs to me is before games, they have meetings, and they go, okay, these are the guys that are not going to beat us. And for the Nationals, it's going to be Rendon and Soto. But you bet Howie Kendrick fifth. You can't just stay away from those two guys. You got to worry about him. And I hand it to Martinez for sticking with him and putting him in five right there. I think it makes a big difference.
Well, he's hitting 350 this year.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year.
You have to have his bat in the lineup.
Even though
playoffs.
He's limited defensively and he's limited on the pass because he's not a great base runner, he's still a good bat. You got to keep him in there.
He's a great bat.
Yeah, so.
At least this year, a great
You got to take the good with the bad, and that's what they've chosen to do.
All right, remember, we're giving you a chance to win tickets for tonight's game, courtesy of Papa John's.
Papa.
On the show at 7:20, 8 o'clock, and 8:20. Oh, I see. 7:20 is right around the corner.
It's looming.
It is. Priority Toyota Springfield, home of priorities for life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, will talk about that Redskins victory next with him and give you a chance to win those tickets for the NLCS coming up next on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Of course, we've been talking about the Nationals with 2 wins over the weekend, but the Redskins won, too, on a Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of priorities for life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. And join us right now to talk about the Redskins' victory, the one-point win, is our pal Craig Hoffman. He covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. Hey, Craig.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello, Craig.
What's up, Seahawk?
Any travel debacles on the way back from Miami?
By my airline standards, an hour delay is no longer even considered a debacle, just like a standard operating procedure. So,
sure.
No, it was fine getting home at 1 in the morning because we sat on the runway in Miami for an hour.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, but it was a win. I mean, it had to feel different.
It was a victory taxi on the runway. You're
normally covering the sad, depressing locker room. Guys don't really want to talk.
They were psyched to get out of there with a one-point win after a drop two-point conversion in Miami against the worst team.
Against the worst team. All right.
Hey, look.
I told you, Seahawk, on Friday, I said, I got a vibe. I think the Dolphins are going to win this game because I think the Skins suck a little worse than the Dolphins. Now, I was wrong, but, man, they were lucky to escape that one.
They were. I mean, Fitzpatrick came in and just marched it on them.
He was so much better than Rosen,
yeah,
so much better.
Which is weird because I was, we're just waiting for the elevator in the press box, and some of the Miami writers were talking amongst themselves, and they were like, it's so bizarre because when he starts and Rosen comes in relief, it just flips. So whoever the reliever is for them, it's like the anti-Nats from, April to they traded for Hudson. The relievers are the ones that are good, and whoever starts just stinks. Defensively, Miami's obviously got some serious issues. They couldn't cover McLaurin at all, which is also probably why Flores goes for 2, because I feel like if the Redskins had gotten overtime, they just would have been like, all right, just send McLaurin deep and the game's over. But the way Fitzpatrick came in, I am really interested to go back and watch those 2 drives on tape to see what happened on those, because he came in and he's making some, I could tell from my seat, he's making some sick throws. He's threading the needle, being super aggressive.
Right.
Like, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick at his best. It's also Ryan Fitzpatrick at his worst because he does it over the course of 60 minutes and 3 of those get picked off. But in those that small sample size, he was just threading the needle, bang, 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 and we saw what happened.
But you made a good point. I mean, they did get the win, all right, so they're not going 0-16, but they did struggle, blowing the 14-3 lead or the 17-3 lead almost, and to the Dolphins, and Fitzpatrick was much better than Rosen. See, I kind of felt the opposite way than you did, Craig. I felt like if they would have kicked the extra point and go to OT, the Skins' defense was a little gassed at that point, and Miami had all the mojo. I felt like Miami had the edge in overtime, but I can understand why Flores went for it.
Maybe. Thank you, Brian Flores, for going for it.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Overtime, just whew. It's possible. I think it might have come down to who won the coin toss, because the Redskins did have this thing going that was seemingly unguardable. The only thing that stopped Terry McLaurin yesterday was Terry McLaurin. He had one drop that otherwise he would have had a 180, 3 touchdowns and on 5 catches instead of the.
Oh, yeah, because he goes to the house if he catches that.
Yeah. I was like, I think you score on that. And he goes, oh, yeah, I would have scored. So I talked to him about it after, and he was, that kid just is unbelievable. And we've gloated about him enough on this show. To the point that it's like uncomfortable. All he's talking about after the game is the one he dropped. And you're like, you're a rookie who just had 4 for 102 touchdowns. What are you like you're allowed to be happy. You won for the first time in your NFL career, and you were a huge part of it. But he was so mad about the one that he dropped and so thankful for the opportunity to have that huge catch coming out of the end zone, a route that Bill Callahan called a work of art. But that's the one Terry was proudest of because his case came back to him after the drop, and he was able to hold on at a big spot.
And beautiful throw, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Case did not have a good day yesterday in his first game back, and obviously they're hoping that was a lot of rust. But, yeah, that throw, there were a couple throws he made that were really, really impressive, and that was certainly on the top of the list.
Craig, were the Redskins aware that McLaurin was such a technician as a route runner when he was drafted out of Ohio State, or is he surprised them with just how technically good he is?
So I'll disagree with the premise of the question because he was not this good coming out of Ohio State. What they did know was he works his ass off.
Right.
And so they knew he had all the raw physical ability. Like, the only thing you change about the kid is you'd make him 6'4", right? He's 6 feet tall. He's, he's someone I see eye to eye with, as opposed to your prototypical round one NFL wide receiver who's built like Calvin Johnson or Randy Moss. But outside of that, he's got every single physical trait you could ever want. And he wasn't as technical coming out of Ohio State, in part because, and Dwayne's talked about this actually, they didn't ask him to do that stuff at Ohio State. They had Paris Campbell. They had, I'm totally blanking on the third kid's name, but it was really the second kid's name, and Terry was kind of the three, and he was their deep guy. But all of a sudden, he's in the NFL. He needs the entire route tree and the level of technical aptitude he needs to beat corners down in, down out is much, much higher. And so he just worked his butt off, and he took to the coaching really, really well. And Ike Hillier, if you'll listen to him, he's a really good wide receivers coach, a guy who obviously had a decade-plus career in the NFL himself, who understands the nuances. Jay is actually really, really good at that stuff, and so he benefited from having Jay around as long as he did. And so Terry has just become this sensational route runner who also, not only from a technical standpoint, has good feet, but he mentally understands exactly what he is trying to do to DBs. Talking to him after the game last night was really impressive of, on this route I had this guy on my hip, and that was, so I knew X, Y, Z, and from there it was all I had to do was, this, this, and this. And so he just has a real deep understanding that the great ones have, and he's not there yet. He's got to do it more. But he has the understanding that the great ones have of exactly what he is trying to do down to a microscopic level, and that is what separates him on top of the physical gifts.
See, Hoff, I think you remember the kid you're talking about was K.J. Hill for Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just loaded. All right, so let's look forward to next week. 49ers. Now, the 49ers aren't going to allow, Peterson to go for 120. And they're going to get after the quarterback. They got after Goff yesterday four times. They've got legit pass rushers in Bosa and D4. D4 had a couple sacks yesterday.
Did Goff finish with less than 100 yards passing?
I'd have to go look.
I think so. I'll double check.
It's a really low number.
It was awful. I mean, and then Gurley didn't play. Now, not that Gurley's been good this year, but they are really a totally different team without a bona fide number one running back. So how do they prepare for this defense?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. I haven't had a chance to watch a ton of San Francisco this year, if I'm being honest. It's something I'll spend time on this week. But they are going to have to figure out, part of the way they do that, though, is to continue to run the ball anyway. This is where Callahan's rush attempts things is a huge factor. Like, we're going to run the ball 25 times with AP no matter the yardage. Okay. As long as you don't go backwards. And yesterday, by the way, I got to give these guys credit. There were no offensive penalties yesterday. And so the idea of rush attempts works when you're not all of a sudden in second and 20 because you held on a first and 10 run. If it's second and 8, then okay. Like, you can live with second and 8. You can't live with second and 20. And so that's also how you slow down a pass rush is if they fly off the ball, you just run draws right by them, or you run whatever right by them, because there's a lot of run plays where you actually want the defensive ends to fly upfield, and it creates that crease on the outside. So that's a huge way in which they're going to try to slow that part of it down. But it's only does so much, you still have to be able to protect in your drop back game and get those play action shots and all that kind of stuff. So that is the simple answer before studying them more and trying to figure out what are the best ways to target them. But, you know, I thought they had a really good plan yesterday. Again, I think Case held them back, and I don't know how much of that was rust. McLaurin has the huge drop, or the passing numbers look significantly different. But that's, you know, that's where they're going to get their yardage in the passing game, is these big plays. So one drop kills your numbers. So I trust that Kevin and Callahan and Kavanaugh and all these offensive minds they still have will be able to come up with a plan. The question is going to come down to execution, and that is obviously the story of their season, is the ability to execute, or for 5 weeks before yesterday, not.
Joined by Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. I want to ask you about a couple guys on defense. So Landon Collins, I think some people hadn't been uber impressed with him early part of the season, but I thought that yesterday he had a great game. And Sean Dion Hamilton, two guys, like, what are you seeing from those guys on defense? I want you to highlight those two.
Yeah, so Landon, his sack yesterday was actually kind of cool. And it's the kind of thing that I've wanted to see more of from this defense. It wasn't actually a blitz, and it's not exactly like he's freelancing either. So basically what happens is he sees a formation, something he's seen on tape. He thinks it's going to be run. It turns into play action. Well, instead of going, oh, no, I'm in the backfield, I better run back and go cover someone, he just goes. And he's able to swim the back and get a sack. And it happens so fast that, you know, there's no coverage leak or whatever on the back end where he was quote-unquote supposed to be. And so plays like that where you see something, you fire, you go, and you win, because you do that and you lose and you're screwed. You do that and you win, and you see what happens. You get a huge negative play. And so I thought that was great from Landon. He had the play where he was a cover two safety, split in the field, and they tried to throw up the hash, and he came over the top and almost picked it. Actually wound up knocking the ball up in the air long enough that Monte almost came over from the other safety spot and picked it. So I did think he was pretty good yesterday. Sean Dion is a guy that I don't really understand why he doesn't play basically every snap. If you want to rotate him a little bit with Bostic, fine. But he is so smart and instinctual, and he actually has the skills to get it done. The only thing Sean Dion doesn't have is size. That's it.
Yeah,
he's small. And it's not just like, he's not just short. Like Kyle was talking to me, so instead of just ripping off his thought, I will give him the credit, because he actually saw London Fletcher play in person. London Fletcher was small. London Fletcher was short. Sean right. Dion's small. So he's not like he's 5'8", but 230. And so that is the only question you have, is if he plays a snap in, snap out, can he sustain it over the course of time? Or is there going to be, you know, certain linemen that he really struggles against? Or is he just going to flat out get hurt? But he is so instinctual and smart and understands how to dip under blocks and kind of get around in coverage in ways that I think make up for that size, you know, size deficit, we'll call it. I just don't frankly understand why he's not your every down middle linebacker, because I think he was going to be with Reuben Foster, and John Bostic is certainly, like, John Bostic's going to be an amazing coach or an amazing analyst one day, but there are things you see with him that you go, oh, that's why you've been on four teams in 5 years. It's not that he's a bad player, but he's a very average NFL player, very replaceable level NFL player. And I think Sean Dion could be better than that if given the opportunity.
What's the storyline with this team week to week now? Because the first 5 weeks it was, all right, when's Jay going? It was also, is when is, you know, especially when Case got hurt, when is Haskins going to start? I guess that's still kind of a storyline of whenever we see Haskins, but now Callahan has said that he's not going to go with Haskins, so I'm not sure if that's a storyline. They have their win, so they're not going 0-for. So what do you think the storyline is now week to week?
I mean, I think it's still Dwayne. I think it's how is he doing, and how close is he to getting ready? I think the other thing is, how does the offense look on tape? Because this is an audition for Kevin O'Connell to be the next head coach. And so the ability to consistently get production, or put guys in position to produce, in how he calls games, that's a week-to-week story for me. Other than that, it's really just the development of the other young guys, the guys that we actually are seeing, the John Allens, the Deron Payne's, some of these younger players. That is the real story of the season now, because it certainly, I mean, look, I think some fans are waking up this morning going, they gained a game on everybody in the NFC East. They're only a couple games right. out.
It's too bad.
And look, technically that's true. If they can pull it out, we knew that it was going to be a tough start to the season, and then they got a little bit softer in the middle, and that they might have been able to gain some ground, but that was going to not involve an 0-5 start. You can't lose the first five and then be like, ah, we're right there in the division, even if technically, you know, the math, you can make it happen. So
yeah, don't even waste your breath on that conversation. They beat the Dolphins by a point. The Dolphins, who were giving up 41 points per game, 477 yards per game, they put up 17.
They escaped with a win.
Yes. Yep. Yes, you made the point much more succinctly than I was in the process of rambling through. So development, that's the story.
All right, Craig.
Okay, all right.
Appreciate the time and insight. Check out his work at thefandc.com. Thanks, Craig.
You got it. See you guys.
Yep.
Hey, when we come back, I want to tell you about what I did on Saturday night. You'd actually get a kick out of it.
I will. Can I get a hint? Can you give a little?
Well, it's poker related.
Yeah, poker related.
I already told you.
He was going to one of his big fancy rich friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but you're going to get a kick out of it.
All right, we'll get into that next. Of course, it is a Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of Priorities for Life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Remember, giving you another chance to win Nats tickets for Game 3 tonight.
Tonight's game, Ricky's.
Of the NLCS, coming up at 8 o'clock and 8:20 here on the Junkies. So we've been talking about that on a Victory Monday presented by Priority Toyota Springfield, home of Priorities for Life. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. But Jason wanted to tell us about his Saturday evening where you were able to watch the Nats game.
Absolutely.
But I know you were playing in some big poker tournament or poker event at your buddy's house.
Yes, so I was invited by my buddy Brian Davidson, who works for Van Meter Homes.
Okay.
And they do a lot of work with Buell Electric. And Buell Electric's a big electric company in Northern Virginia. And John Buell is the owner. And I was invited to John Buell's house.
All right.
And he lives in the same neighborhood as Jay Gruden.
Okay.
Creighton Farm.
So he's doing okay.
Oh, my gosh.
He's doing all right.
This is like a 10,000-square-foot house. It's absurd, right?
Right.
So
much coveting.
You walk in. It's just a beautiful home. And there were about 60 players in it.
Right.
And you walk into the bar in the basement. A full bar, mm-hmm. You know, he's got all the tables set up.
Sure.
And then there's a table about the size of this table.
Okay.
With 10 white bags with a dollar sign on it.
Okay.
All right.
Grab bags?
Actually, no, nine. I'm sorry, nine.
Okay.
So there's nine bags.
All right.
And that's for the final table. So John Buell puts up his own money. There's no buy-in.
Okay.
And he puts up his own money for the final table, so the final table all gets paid.
Okay, got it.
A certain percentage.
So out of 60 players, whittles down to nine.
Nine, and that's the final table.
Okay.
Right. And so we're just having food and having some drinks, and then all of a sudden, Sherry and Jay Gruden walk in.
Okay.
And I thought that Jay Gruden, there was a chance he was going to be there because he's played in it before.
Right.
But I also heard that after he was let go by the Skins that he went down to Orlando to hang out with his parents for a couple days.
Okay.
But he obviously came back. Because he wants to play in this tournament.
Right.
And his wife, Sherry, is a poker degenerate.
She played in the Junkies Poker Open.
Of
we know
course.
It was at my table
yes,
in the Junkies
she,
Poker Open.
She loves to see props.
She loves open-ended straight draws.
By the way, she's not ugly.
No, she's not.
Right. So she comes in. And when I say that Jay Gruden looked as relaxed as I've ever seen him, he looked like he was just hired.
Right.
It just got the job.
Fresh as a daisy.
Not fired.
Yes.
He looked so relaxed and carefree. He was having cocktails. He was talking to people. I actually sat right next to him at the final table. Yes, I made the final table.
Well, props. By the way, I think that's the look that anybody gets when they no longer have to work for Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen.
And you're still getting paid
and you're
by
still,
Dan
Yeah,
Snyder.
You're still getting paid.
$5 million.
Millions of dollars.
So you won one of the bags?
I did. So, and no one has any idea how much money is in the bags. Right? You just don't know.
Okay.
It's different every year.
Yeah. You know if it's money for sure or it could have just been
tchotchkes. Yeah. No, there's money.
I mean, you would take gift cards, of course. But
so,
I mean,
so there's these nine bags.
Right.
And everyone's goal is just make the final table.
Yeah, sure.
Because you know you're going to get paid. So it was me and my buddy Mike Winslow, who you know.
Yes. Yakety Yak. The artist formerly known as Sports Yak.
And Jay Gruden made the final table. Sherry Gruden did not make the final table.
Was she salty?
But Jay Gruden's, both of his sons made the final table.
Oh, look at that.
The whole family was there. And I sat right next to him.
Right.
And I ended up finishing seventh.
Okay.
I walked into a big blind. The blinds were 4,000, 8,000.
Okay, they're getting high.
And I walked right in. Once I advanced to the final table, I was the big blind.
Right.
Just based on where the where the cards were.
Did you talk any shop with Jay?
You know, I didn't.
Any small talk?
Not really. We actually talked a little sports betting.
Okay.
And
what hand knocked you out, by the way? I need to hear the hand.
I was all in because it was big. I only had 10,000 chips, so okay. I went all in.
Down to the nubs.
I had like 2-6 off. I was done.
And did you have
but
Nats?
But I finished seventh.
That's solid.
You had Nats on TV?
Nats right behind us.
All right.
So I was, but the Nats game was over by the time we got to the final table. But
so was it Jay? Right, so, Jay with was it Deuce Gruden?
One of the, Jay, you mean his son?
Who's his son?
Jack.
Okay, it's
and
Jack.
JJ.
Okay, I think Deuce is John Gruden.
That's right. That's right.
That's his kid.
I don't know who Deuce is.
That's his nephew.
The dude who's all jacked, yeah, right? The weightlifting dude.
Right. No, he wasn't there. So it was me and Jay and both Jay's sons and my buddy Brian, a couple other guys. So I ended up walking away with seventh. So I go over and I pick the bag up.
Okay. You started to get a little movement in your pants.
I was shaking it. And I heard some, you know, some change.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, there's quarters in here. There's like nickels and dimes and quarters. Well, they were silver dollars.
Okay.
All right, and there was about 50 of them.
Okay.
Plus, there was a lot of 20s.
Oh. Like a lot.
I went, what?
Like, is a lot like 20-20s?
No, it was probably
10-20s.
10-20s plus a few fives and a few ones. Anyway, it was about 350.
It's very solid.
That's pretty nice.
You're free rolling. You walk away
but
with
this
bag.
Guy,
with
this guy's so rich. He puts up 9 bags of his own money. And obviously seventh, the guy who finishes sixth has a little bit more.
Yeah, sure.
The guy who finishes fifth has a little bit more than six. I'm not sure what the winner got. I'm guessing it was probably in the couple thousand range.
It's very solid.
But the fact that John Buell invites everyone over,
yeah,
has this big spread, free drinks, everything, and puts up his own cash,
yeah,
for the final table, really cool.
Hey, you be sure to report that income, okay? you tell the tax man about that immediately.
But the overall point was, yes, Jay Gruden looked as relaxed and happier than I've seen him in 5 years.
Well, he's still getting paid, and he doesn't have to work.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Absolutely. Doesn't have to work for that tyrant.
Cakes,
if you had sat next to Jay Gruden,
yes,
would you have brought up your clock management person?
No,
theory.
Because again, it's look. He just got released from his duties.
Right.
He doesn't want to talk about, you know, working for the Skins. He doesn't want to talk shop when he's just, you know, like trying to play his King Jack suited.
Right.
You know, he's just trying to get one of those bags of money. Like he needs it.
I'm sure he doesn't need
Jay Gruden needs. He already got a bag of money. It's $5 million from Dan Snyder to do nothing.
I think
next
he
year.
Finished second, so he probably got $1,000.
Yeah, it's good.
That's like a nickel.
He'll probably just donate it to charity. What does he care?
Or maybe not.
Let me do an abbreviated Junkies Blitz brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice, their service to help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. Because we got Boog Shambi joining us at 8 o'clock. We're going to get back into the NLCS, plus give you a chance to win some tickets. Just wanted to mention three things that happened in the NFL yesterday. First of all, the Chiefs lost again.
Yes.
They've lost two in a row. Deshaun Watson is playing like the MVP. Like, if you had to go MVP right now, it's probably either Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah, I mean
and I guess Mahomes.
What about Christian McCaffrey?
I think he's in there, but Deshaun is playing fantastic, and the Chiefs.
Well, he hasn't been
two in a row.
He wasn't playing fantastic for all of those six games. He had a couple duds.
True, but overall, you look at the body of work.
Lately, has been really good. Yes.
I thought the Chiefs were a team that could threaten the Patriots in the AFC, but they're looking really flawed right now. They got Ty Hill back. You know,
they
got a banged up offensive line.
Scored twice yesterday.
Yeah.
You have terrible defense.
But they can't run the ball.
They got a lot of issues. The other two games I really wanted to mention were the Panthers. All right, it's expected that they would win, but
Jameis Winston.
Can you go back to Cam Newton? Kyle Allen, all he does is win.
I don't know if you can.
Was he 4-0?
4-0.
No, you can't go
They've
back
won all
Cam
their
Newton.
Games with Kyle Allen. He has no interceptions.
No, he's obviously the better quarterback, and they're a better team since he's been there. Even though McCaffrey was kind of shut down running the ball, he still scored twice. Let's talk about Jameis Winston. He had 6 turnovers.
Yes. He'd been having a good year.
This is the number one pick. Has 6 turnovers.
Right. There's a chance that the number one pick and the number two pick from that draft
are not with their teams
are going to be gone from their teams.
100%. I mean, if you're the Titans, you cannot continue with Marcus Mariota. He's getting benched for the likes of Ryan Tannehill. You're looking for your next signal caller in next year's draft.
Well, if you're Tampa, you can't continue with Jameis Winston.
Either or.
You've got to move on.
And the third thing that I wanted to bring up NFL-wise, you were talking about number one picks. Baker Mayfield, also number one pick. Cleveland loses again, 32-28.
Love it.
And he had another
even though we're gonna lose
three
our
bet. Interceptions. Three interceptions from Baker.
Does he lead the league in turnovers at this point?
I think
he's got 11
believe.
Or 12. He's got like 11 to 12 turnovers at this point.
He's got a ton.
He definitely does.
Yeah.
I think he has more than that.
Let me check his numbers, and they're not pretty. He's got 5 touchdowns. He's got 11 pickles. And
11 interceptions.
That's really bad. And I'm sure he's got a few fumbles lost,
I thought
lost
I said
too.
14 turnovers.
He might have some fumbles lost in there as well.
And who do they have next?
I
think they've got a loser next.
Probably do. Have to look at the Brownies' schedule.
They've got a tough schedule the next 4 or 5.
Freddie Kitchens is a donk.
He might be a bit of a donk.
Maybe made such a bad decision.
Yeah, he won't be there next
looks
year.
Looks clueless.
I mean, think about it. If they go 5-11, he's not coming back.
Definitely not.
No way.
You know what? It's hard.
But I love it.
Honestly, it's hard to take a coach seriously that wears a orange hoodie that says dog pound on it. It's kind of hard. Look, that's okay for the guy in section 220 to wear. I don't know if that's okay for your coach to wear on the sideline.
All right, so who do the Browns have next week?
They're at a team called the Patriots.
Yes. I told you.
Boat Race City. It's over, Johnny.
2-5.
Seriously, we need to hedge that bet, Jason.
Pencil it in.
We need to hedge
You think Bill Belichick's not going to engineer his defense to have a couple of pickles off of Baker Mayfield? They have picks every week.
With an extra couple days to prepare?
Right.
They played on Thursday?
All right, coming up next, we will get back into the Nats-Cardinals Game 3 tonight. Of course, here at Nationals Park, Boog Shambi, play-by-play announcer for MLB on ESPN, will join us, and we'll give you a chance to win tickets to tonight's game right here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.